Seek and find. Zateia is the Greek word meaning seek, and what does it really mean? It means to crave. To crave the truth. To crave in a worshipful way. To seek the truth from our Father's Word, whereby it guides you, it leads you. But do you understand that takes action on your part? It isn't something that's just given to you. You have to crave it, and you have to search it. You have to dig for it, that is to say, pray about it, and let the Father lead you. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to pick it up with verse 20. And verse 20 reads, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. In other words, that's wisdom. Wisdom will gain you everything. It's the most precious thing in the world, wisdom in Almighty God. You see, these other things are all attached to wisdom. But you've got to have that wisdom. In the first place, you could be the richest person in the world, and if you weren't wise, somebody would rip you off. You couldn't handle it. So you search, you seek, you crave wisdom and truth from Almighty God. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, that's to say where your success is, there will your heart be also. That's just common sense. 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that means it's clear, there's no hang-ups in it, thy whole body shall be full of light. That's God's promise to you. You can't have an evil eye and expect God to bless you. He's just not going to do it. As a matter of fact, if you have an evil eye, you've already declared yourself an enemy of the living God. So you surely wouldn't expect anything from Him. So you want to have a clear eye, searching, seeking, craving the real truth from God's Word. Verse 23, But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? You have no light. Quite frankly, you wouldn't have any hope. You would be deceiving yourself. But you don't understand, brother, I've got to make it in this world. Well, this world's going to end pretty soon. Where are you going to be then? You better think about laying your treasure up with wisdom. You see, you can defeat this world, and there's no sin in being rich. Because if you got wisdom, you probably will be. At least you'll be well off enough you're not sweating. And so it goes. 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and evil-gotten gains. And again, one of the greatest mistakes Christians make, they let somebody whomp it on them that it's a sin to be rich. No, it isn't. God promises you blessings, and those blessings are riches. That's where your treasure is, more so than ever, even in heaven. But He knows what you have need of here if you crave the truth. You can't play games with Him. That craving is an inborn instinct that causes you to want to know more. That's why you study His Word. That's why you seek Him. That's why you follow Him. And how precious it is when our Father leads and directs. Verse 25, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body for raiment? This word translates worry. But I'm just worried about this, and I'm worried about that. Don't worry. That doubts every promise of God. And when you doubt every promise of God, you're in pretty bad shape as far as blessings are concerned. He's not going to give them to you. So worry won't help you one iota. It damages you. It is one thing to plan your day and do it carefully, but don't worry, because worry detains you, it shackles you. It dampens the craving you have to know truth, is to worry. You know, the thing about it is, in your life, how many things have you worried about that never happened anyway? What was it for then? Nothing. You worried and wasted all that time for nothing when you could have been craving the truth and wisdom and have proceeded forward in the blessings of the living God. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, look at them. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Do you just play church? Don't you realize our Father knows your needs? And when you use common sense, that's what wisdom is. At whatever your profession is, you're going to make it. Most likely because you're going to do it better than anyone else. Or at least just as good. And that always brings blessings and moves you on down the road into the blessings of God. 27, which of you by taking thought, that means worry, which of you by worry can add one cubit unto his stature? Which of you by worry can add one second to your life? You can't. If anything, worry, you subtract. It puts you in the grave. Worry will do you in. Worry will not help you. That's what you have him for. And that's why you crave and you seek his truth and his word, whereby he can bless you. He knows you when you love him. I mean, after all, he created your very soul. You're his child. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Well, why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Not that beautiful. God takes care of his own. That's what he wants you to know. But I just had to worry about what I was going to wear today. Oh, did you? Well, then if you have common sense, you had that planned out considerably before time and you sure weren't worrying about it. What a waste of time. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? When you handle your profession the way he tells you to, when you seek and crave his guidance, you do it better than anyone else, and you're going to proceed further than anyone else. You don't have to worry about it, because you're serving him. And do you think people can't tell when you walk by, there goes a child of God? Because they're blessed. Because they crave understanding. And the guidance in a worshipful way from our Heavenly Father. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, or you stop worrying, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? What are we going to do? Stop it. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. There's our word. They crave it. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. If you're serving him, do you think he doesn't know it? And do you think he doesn't pay his debts? Are you accusing God of doing that? Then you're in a heap of hurt if you do. Because if you progress the way you're supposed to, if you stop worrying and depend on him, and use your profession to the best of your ability, producing, then God's going to take care of the rest of it for you. But you've got to produce first. That's part of his contract. Verse 33, but seek, there's our word, crave. But crave you first the kingdom of God. That's eternity. and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You will make it just fine in good shape without any thought of worry, because you crave the truth. You crave God to lead you and direct you. Well, I've always had it pretty good. That's proof. You've had exactly what God wanted you to have, what you can take care of, and God blesses you with more. Okay. 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, what that's saying, God is telling you, you got enough trouble today that you don't have to worry about tomorrow's troubles. And if you'll take care of today's troubles, probably tomorrow's will too. Okay. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. It hadn't happened yet. Plan ahead, of course. But take care of today's trouble. I mean, nip it in the bud. Get it fixed. Do it. Crave the truth from God for knowledge, how to handle it, and most of all, to have his blessings so that it's cared for. That things happen in favor of you. Why? Because you're a child of God. Seeking, craving knowledge and love and understanding on how to be blessed by him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 comes right after chapter 12. That's wisdom, okay? We're going to pick it up in verse 24 of Luke chapter 13. And verse 24 reads, strive, I mean, you work at, to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek, they're going to crave to enter in and shall not be able. That's why you have to crave worshipfully to know what that gate is. You know, the gate is the place of judgment. And in the first place, where does a shepherd stand at the sheep cot? Do you know what a sheep cot is? That's where the sheep are put away for the night. What is the shepherd standing there holding? A big old staff. And you got to pass under that. Okay. If you don't muster up, you're not going in. No way. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. I don't know you. Well, they're calling him by name. But you see, here's where it slips in that many people call the false Christ Lord also. After they call the false Christ Lord, when he comes first, Christ doesn't want you. Not at this time. It's going to take a lot of repenting before you get in there. So the gate is the place of judgment. You better judge yourself whereby you know how to get through that gate and not be deceived before it closes. 26. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence. We took communion to you. And thou hast taught in our streets. Your word was there. 27. He shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. What is their iniquity? They're guilty of worshiping the false one. You can't call yourself a virgin for Christ after you worship Satan. You're a Satan worshiper. That dangerous time is coming. It doesn't do my heart any good to know how many people are going to be deceived because people are not being taught the truth of the chronological order of events that consummate the end of this age. It's sad. Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. You're not good enough. You couldn't make it. You can't make the cut. Why? You didn't crave the truth enough to find out how to count from 1 to 7, the chronological order of the trumps, so that you know when to go in and when not to go in. 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Who will? God's elect. They overcome. They crave the truth. They seek it. And they find it. Verse 30, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. God's elect were the last, were first chosen in the first earth age, but they're saved for the last generation of this earth age, known as the generation of the fig tree. Why? They got work to do. He depends on you. Not something you're supposed to worry about. It's a blessing to crave the truth of wisdom and know that truth. Now, back up, if you would, to chapter 11. Remember what happens in Luke chapter 11? In Luke chapter 11, Christ gives the so-called prayer for us, which is to say, when you pray, O our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. When you pray to him, do you think Christ is giving you bad advice? Do you think he doesn't hear that? Of course he hears the prayer. That's what you're supposed to pray to. Well, you mean I'm supposed to pray to Christ? No, that's not what he said. Pray to God. Pray to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, in Christ's name. Okay, that gives credentials that you are a Christ man. Now, pick it up with verse 5 after the Lord's the prayer for you was given. What does it say? So that you can absorb it. Verse 5 reads, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I mean, they're in bed, they're tucked away, and here this friend, he's a good friend. Verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. My cupboard's empty. Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. We're all tucked in, the whole household. Don't want to disturb them. Verse 8, but I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Who is the friend? It's our Father God. But he said, when you ask him, importunity, that means precisely and persistently you ask, but the main part is he unselfishly loves you. And because he unselfishly loves you, he's going to get up and serve you. What is this parable then? Pray to God and be blessed. He will serve you if you crave the truth, if you crave to be pleasing to him. He will get up. He will, even if it would seem like trouble, he's got time for you. That's why he created you. He wanted somebody exactly like you. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints. You're unique. And he's got time for you. So ask. Craving, knowing, and understanding. And he will serve you. Then it continues on in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, there's our word. Crave, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. All those things take action on your part. Well, I just want to be spoon-fed. There's no such thing. Your Father will serve you, but you have to ask him. You have to go to the trouble to seek. That means to have enough knowledge to know how to approach him, to ask him, and to knock, and he will give it to you. He will do that. He will serve you. But you have to knock. But most of all, you worshipfully must crave. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Now, wait a minute. How many was that again? Everyone. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. That gate is open for you, and you can count on it. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? In other words, who's the rock? Christ is. Do you think he's going to give him the fake rock, not ours? No, of course not. Not if you're searching and craving the real truth, he's going to give it to you. Or if you ask for a fish, that's symbolic of Christianity, he's sure not going to give you a serpent, which is symbolic of the devil. He thinks good about you when you think good about him. Verse 12, and if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the answer, of course, is no. 13 to complete. If you then, being evil, know how to be good, to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And the Holy Spirit gives you the answer to everything. That's wisdom. That is guidance. That is the very presence of Christ in your very life. So, what is it you crave and what is it you seek? Do you know where you find it at? You find it in the book of Proverbs. It's what you're supposed to seek before anything. You'll find it in Proverbs chapter 8. There is someone given here in Proverbs that was with God before this world ever was. There was someone with him before man was ever created. And that someone was wisdom. Wisdom is what you seek for. Wisdom is what you ask for. Wisdom is what you crave. It's the most valuable thing in the world, is wisdom in God. Following his advice and loving him is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 8, verse 1 of the great book of Proverbs. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Do you think she doesn't work with you if you'll try? I want you to absorb that. Wisdom is waiting for you if you'll reach out and embrace her. She standeth in the top of the high places by the way of the places of the paths. She's there. She's everywhere if you'll just reach for her. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, and at the coming in at the doors. If you'll listen, she's there telling you how to come through that gate, the straight and narrow even. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Adam, it's to them. That wisdom is there. She calls. Do you ever answer her? Do you ever listen to her? She speaks to you through this word. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. That means use a little common sense. That's what it's saying. If you're all confused in the world, please stop. Think for a moment and use just a little bit of common sense. 6, hear, and I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. I will always guide you properly and correctly. What will those things be? Truth. The truth of God's word. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It is to wisdom. That's to say, to common sense. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. There's nothing twisted, crafty, or deceptive. It's always simple and easily understood. Truth abounds. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge, that find a little common sense, a little reasoning of being able to understand what it is God wants in your life. Receive my instructions, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Do you know why? Because with knowledge, you can gain gold and silver. That's no problem. But if you don't have knowledge and wisdom, even if you gain silver and gold, you're going to lose it. Okay. You can't handle it without wisdom. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. This is true. You must grasp that. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions intuitively, instructing mankind. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's the revere. This word in the Hebrew means to revere, to love or to fear. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. I hate people that are deceptive and corrupt with deceit. Verse 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Always stop and plan your day. Do it with wisdom. It will save you a lot of heartaches and a lot of shortcuts into finding truth when you do it His way. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. That is, if they are right with God. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth, the righteous judges, that is to say. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. This word seek, now we're going from the Greek to the Hebrew, is sakar. And do you know what it means? It means the dawn of the morning, or you get up early. You seek early. You don't wait until it's too late and then try to flutter around and find something out. The very shakar means be early, be ahead of the thing. Don't rule from behind. Rule from in front. Stay in front of it. Stay ahead of it. And you will always be out of trouble. You know, as a pilot for many, many years, anytime you let the airplane get ahead of you or the weather get ahead of you, that's when stuff happens. God gave you this up here between your ears. You said, stay ahead of the game and live. Stay ahead of the game and survive. Stay ahead of the game and be blessed by the living God. He will always see to it. Wisdom will always take care of you. Wisdom will show you the way. Hunt it early, though. You still have to crave it. But in the Hebrew, he's saying, get out there and hump it. You go find it early. So nobody has a chance to deceive you through the day. You've already got it. You're forewarned coming out the gate. 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. That's wisdom. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. That's wisdom, beloved. Do you have it? It's precious. Wisdom is the simplicity which is taught in God's Word, preparing you early for what tomorrow brings, so that no one can make a fool out of you, so that no one can deceive you with false teaching. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Wisdom will always let you get ahead. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old, before this world ever was. God had that wisdom. you know what? I could say something. It was sure good enough for him. Do you think it's not good enough for you? Seek it. Search it. Crave it. It will bless you. 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ere the earth was. 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Wisdom was with God when he created the earth. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Wisdom with him. This is why that in understanding geology, a little wisdom goes a long ways in understanding how our Father accomplished things, even as it is written in this word. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. That highest part of the dust means even the dust that man is made from. 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when God put all the planets in orbit and the stars, wisdom was there. When he established the clouds above and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep and when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, he set the limits whereby the coast was there and the water couldn't wash us away. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Do you want to know what delights God above your love, even? Wisdom, or as much. Wisdom causes God to delight. So therefore, if you want to please him, be sharp. Sure, well, what do you mean by be sharp? Use a little common sense. Well, let me see. Now, what is common sense? Well, somebody says that they're painting that wall red, but to me it looks black. But they say it's red. Don't ever let them fool you. If it's black, it's black. If it's red, it's red. If politically correct is wrong morally, then it's incorrect. Don't be deceived. Use wisdom. A little common sense will go a long ways and you'll be a lot better off for it. God will always bless you when you harness yourself with wisdom early in the morning. Put it on. Saka in the Hebrew tongue. Dawn of the day. Put it on. Work with it. 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. They were with Adam. They were there. God loves his children. He does. All of them. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O you children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. You want to be blessed? Keep wisdom. That's common sense. I mean, it's one of the most precious things in the world. It's not. You don't have to have a DDD and a RXB and a BS behind your name to practice common sense. Okay. As a matter of fact, if somebody sits behind a desk too long and gets too much DD and BS, then usually you want to be very careful listening to them because they haven't any experience, which is called common sense. Verse 33. And I'm not judging anybody, first off. Hear instruction. That's what wisdom will tell you. And be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, always finding a better way, a wiser way. For whoso findeth me findeth life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. Do you want to find favor with him? That brings blessings. You can't beat it, my friend. It's that simple. To conclude, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Not somebody else's. His own soul. All they that hate me love death. And if you do hate wisdom, death is at the door. Because why? You're going to be deceived, probably. We're living in a time when that's going to happen. Deception is coming. The chief deceiver, the destroyer himself, pretending to be Messiah. Wisdom lets you know that. Why? Because you sought it early enough in God's Word to understand that, the chronological order of events, so that you're not deceived. Wisdom brought that to you. The wisdom in your mind, the gift that God gave you, that no one could deceive you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the written word. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Be with all these as they do thy work, Father. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD.